there's nothing more important than your word. And the delivery of that word has to be with clarity, conviction, and love. As Paul stands before you today, with the burden of the delivery, with the responsibility of that delivery, I ask, Holy Spirit, for your grace, for your anointing from the top of his head to the sole of his foot, the inspiration of every word, open his mind into all the vocabulary that'll be necessary to use the exact word to convey exactly what you want us to receive. Lord, like never before, connect this man with the giver of the word, with the author himself. And let your word go forth with purity, with strength, and with the consequences of fruit. In the name of Jesus, we know that it is done because we've asked it. And we thank you for your grace, for your enablement, and for the peace of mind that passes all understanding in this delivery. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Last week I began what I thought was just, I was going to say a couple of things about authority and about what it means to us. And the more I prayed and the more I studied and the more I thought about it, God has opened my heart to receive more. And just as a pastor, I sometimes take things for granted. Sometimes I just take for granted that everybody's on the same page that I am. Maybe, you know, we're all reading the Bible together. Maybe the Lord's, you know, I don't have to say anything or, you know, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, I have learned a long time ago that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in many different ways. And I can just be in a normal conversation with somebody and hear the Holy Spirit speak to me about an issue, but something maybe going on in my life or whatever. And it really, I'm not listening to a sermon, I'm not listening to a message or any of those kinds of things. It's just, I am, because I'm thinking along a certain line, the Lord opens me to things. And so whenever I begin to study and pray and ask the Lord about this thing of authority, I really felt him speak to me and say that, and I'm not taking this message, please hear me, I don't watch Christian TV and listen to preachers and think, oh, that's what people are preaching now, so I think I'll preach this. I have no idea who's preaching this stuff. Honestly, I don't care. If the Holy Spirit tells me to say something, I just say it. And so that's just the way I am. And I feel like the Lord has really put it into my spirit that one of the reasons that we don't see a lot of things, spiritually speaking or even materially or physically speaking, is because we live below our God-given potential. There is no way for us to realize or to know how much that God wants things for us. The only way that I can even associate it is I want great things for my children. I want my children to be blessed. I want my children to be, I want them to be greater and better than I ever was. And I know those of you who are parents, you feel the same way. You want your children to grow up, and you want them to be, you want them to have more. You want them to be more. You want them to become more. It's not like you have given up on yourself or your dream, but you just want for your children, because you, all of us know how difficult it is to make it in this old world, right? We all know how hard it is to get up every morning and hit that clock and jump out of that bed and put on our clothes and get up and do the right thing. We all know how difficult that is. And so for our children, we want more than that for them. Now, here's the thing. They're going to have to learn in their own way to get up, hit that clock, and make their own way. Amen? That's got to happen. So we demonstrate it by physically doing that. We demonstrate it by getting up every morning and going and doing the thing that we do. But there's more to it than that. And so I want to share a story with you, and I want to just give you what's on my heart from God this morning. I want to, the title of my message, Authority, is what I'm calling it. I don't know what else to call it. Because authority is a Bible word. Everybody say authority. Now, everybody use this word, power. Now, it's two different English words, and it has two different meanings in English. If I say that you have authority, what does that mean? What that means is somebody else has told you that it's okay to do something. So now you have their permission, their authority. If I use the word power, then you think of a guy that can lift heavy weight, or a guy that's strong, or a lady that's strong, somebody that has the physical wherewithal to actually move something that's difficult to move. So power is strength. Power is might. Power is, I can use this word, ability. Now, in the Greek language, in the original language of the New Testament, there are two different words that are unfortunately translated in our English texts. They mix up the words power and authority. Some of the translators did that. And you have to know where that is. So if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 8, and you don't have to do that right now. That's not part of my message. I just want to show you. It's a very familiar verse. Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he said that you will receive, everybody say, power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses here, there, and about. Okay? The word power there is the word dunamis. We get our word dynamo. There's another word we get from it, dynamite. Dynamic. A dynamo is something that men have tried to create all throughout history. You know what a dynamo is? That's something that has power on its own, and it just continues to create that perpetual motion. How many of you know no man's ever created that? Well, God did. But nobody else can. That right there is enough proof for me that there's got to be a God. But no man can create that. He said, you'll receive dynamite. Now, I've preached that message in some churches, and right now the people are up screaming so loud, I'm through, I can't even preach. Just to realize, he placed dynamite inside of me, I'm going to go out and kick the devil in the teeth. I mean, you know, they got it. I didn't have to say anything else. But what we do is we get confused as to what our limitations are. We feel like we have some limitations on us, and so we don't live up to the potential that God has placed inside of us. If you're a born-again believer, you have dynamite on the inside of you. If you're a born-again believer, God has placed something inside of you that's precious. He has placed something inside of you that no one else has. You are special. You are different. You are other than. I am not like Joe Blow out there that's doing his job devoid of the Spirit of God and just he's making his own way. He's being cunning. He's being shrewd. It may be even being a little bit conniving and a little bit tricky. And you know people on your jobs that have that conniving, tricky, moving in and out kind of a thing, whispering behind your back, trying to make themselves a name for themselves. And you look at them and they kind of get ahead and you're like, well, how can a creep like that? And here I am doing the right thing. But the Bible says that you've got something that they don't have. So how do we then function? How is it that we function? Well, let me give you another example. Authority is also a God-given quality to the believer. Now, I want to tell you a story, and we're going to talk about authority, and we're going to talk about how that works out practically in our life, and how you and I are going to change some situations around this place. Can you say amen? How many of you have ever heard of the term power of attorney? A power that is transferred. Transferred authority. They use the word power, power of attorney. There are people in this room that worked in the legal profession. You know what a power of attorney is. You're basically giving permission. You are granting someone else your power. Right? Is that what a power of attorney is? A transfer of power. Here's the legal or Webster's definition of the words power of attorney. Power of attorney is this: a legal instrument authorizing one to act as the attorney or agent of the grantor. Let me say it again. A legal instrument authorizing one to act as the attorney or agent of the grantor. In other words, if you give power of attorney to someone, you are the grantor. You are granting to them through a written document, you're granting to them the ability to do business in your name. Now, there are 4 or 5 different kinds of power. There's limited powers of attorney. There's all kinds of stuff. But none of that is the biblical definition. It's just power of attorney when you go to the Bible, whenever you talk about what Jesus did. So let me go through that. Usually, a power of attorney is a written document that gives legal authority to a person to transact business in place of the one who grants that authority. So it's usually a written document. When I was 17 years old, this very thing happened to me. My father had been very sick, and he was unable to travel. Based on his illness and based on his doctor's directions, he couldn't leave the house. He couldn't do anything. And so my father owned some rental property in Waxahachie, Texas, and we lived in Tyler, Texas, about a 2-hour drive one way to go from Tyler to Waxahachie, and he wasn't able to make that 2-hour trip. And so my dad put that piece of property up for sale. And it was just a very short period of time. Someone decided that they wanted it, and so it sold. Well, as you know, when it comes to those things, you have a closing. And so he was hoping that he'd be able to travel by then, but he couldn't. And so on the day of the closing, when you had to sign the contracts, not only sign the contracts, but then there's a transfer of money and all those kinds of things. You have to have somebody you can trust. If you're going to let them have your power of attorney and then let them have your money. So he asked me to be that person. So he called his lawyer, and I went over to my dad's lawyer's office there in Tyler. And he drew up or created a power of attorney document, and it transferred all of my father's authority in conducting his personal business to me. 17 years old. I'll never forget it. I'm the baby. I'm not the oldest. I'm the third child. I'm the youngest. I have two older brothers, and so you know how that made me feel. Like I always knew I was the favorite. But anyway, he transferred all the, I shouldn't have said that. That even felt bad coming out. Lord, forgive me. Anyway, forgive me because that felt great. Anyway, he transferred all of his business dealings to me. And I didn't think I was capable. I was a little excited about it, just from, you know, just, wow, that Dad had the confidence in me. You know, I was like, wow. It didn't dawn on me until afterwards, you know. He placed a lot of trust in me. And so I didn't think I was capable of doing something like this. I didn't think that I was, I didn't even know that it was legal. I didn't know I was allowed to do anything like this. It never dawned on me that such a thing like this even existed. At 17 years old, I had no clue what was going on. I just thought, well, I'm just doing this for Dad because Dad said do it. By the way, I'm preaching a message right now. I just did it because Dad said do it. And even though I had this written legal document in my hand from my dad's lawyer, I was still uncertain. But that didn't stop me from getting in the car and driving to Waxahachie and doing what my dad told me to do. And I had a lot of questions. All these questions that I had back then kind of seem silly now because I know a little more about life and a little more about business and how things are done. But they were huge to me at the time. I mean, it really, all the way there, it was just a huge thing. Silly little things like, what kind of clothes should I wear to a thing like this? Seriously, I'm going to be in front of bankers and lawyers, and how should I dress? How should I present myself to these people? What are the correct words to use? How do I approach these? I don't even know how to talk to these guys. I'm a 17-year-old kid. How am I supposed to know this stuff? And how many times should I mention my dad's name? I mean, seriously, all this stuff was going through my mind. You know, I need to let them know that I'm not Travis Freeman. In my mind, I was like, they're just not going to know me, and I'm going to go up there and you know, I'm going to feel like I'm stealing money or something. You know what I'm saying? That stuff was in my mind then, not now. I just didn't understand it back then. I think that's where we are as a church. They're a bunch of kids told to do the work of God, but we're not sure. We're not sure. I knew if Daddy was there, he'd just walk in there and he'd have everybody at ease in a minute. He'd be shooting the bull with them. He'd be talking to them. They would be, whatever he said, they would do. I mean, Dad was just that kind of guy. I mean, he was big old 6'3", just happy as the day is long, and people were just at ease around him. So I was like, dear Lord, I wish Dad was here. And because I knew if he was here, it'd be all right. I knew if he was here, it'd be okay. Everything would come out all right. And it'd just simply be handled. And if he had been there personally, it would have been so much easier for me. I could have just sit back and kept my mouth shut and nod. You know, what he said. Mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm, that's right. What he said. You know, I wouldn't have to do anything. He'd just do it all. I'm preaching a message, by the way. He'd just do it at all. And I wouldn't have to do anything. But when I got there, guess what they called this 17-year-old boy, son of Travis Freeman? They called me Mr. Freeman. I'd never been called Mr. Freeman in my life. I turned around to look. Did Dad make it? No, he didn't. They must be talking about me. I was like, that's awfully weird. I'm not Mr. Freeman. I'm Paul. I didn't know who I was. Come on now. And it dawned on me, they acted just like I was Mr. Freeman. They had no other point of reference. They just acted like I was who I said I was, Mr. Freeman. They didn't question it, nothing. And when it came time to sign it, they asked me, is this your house? I said, no, it's my father's house. They said, well, do you have the right to conduct business in his name? I said, yes, sir, I do. Let me slip you this document right here. Let me just show you that. And there it was on that written document. Paul Freeman had now become Travis Freeman. They said, okay, Mr. Freeman, sign right here and we'll go get your money. And I thought to myself, how easy was that? How easy was that? Not my house, not my name, not my money, but I get the check. Am I the only one in this room right now? Not my house, not my name, not my money, but I got the check. That's the power of attorney. Now, follow with me just a little bit further, and we'll get through this together. That's exactly what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. It's not my house. It's not my name. But it's my stuff now. I'm the one who gets the benefits. In fact, the psalmist said it. He knew it before Christ appeared on this earth. He said, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation, Selah, which means think about this. David could be king because he realized he was doing business in somebody else's name. He had authority. He had authority, which increased his ability to have power. He had authority to conduct business. And his authority was not limited. It was, say this word with me, all. All authority. All authority. In Matthew chapter 28, follow with me here. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, that this is after the resurrection, after he had died on the cross, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to the 11 disciples on a specific mountain. And if you go with me to Israel, I'll take you to that mountain. We'll stand right there and we'll look up in the sky and see he's not there. And we'll be just like those guys when he said, why stand here gazing? The guy you see go away is coming back to get you again. And so we'll go, oh yeah, that's right. And then we'll go to the next place. But come with me and we'll go do that. And you will love it. Those 11 went there to the mountain Jesus had appointed. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Everybody say these words. But some doubted. Just put that in your mind. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, some authority. A little bit of authority. A limited amount of authority, because I can't trust you guys. What if one of you 11 are like Judas and you mess it up? And what if somebody down the road, say in 2015, sitting at Victory Church, what if one of them mess it up? I'm just going to give them a little bit of authority. God took a chance on you. Look at your neighbor and say, God took a chance on you. God took a chance on you. All, everybody say, all authority has been given to me. Jesus is talking and he's saying that the Father did something for him. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now watch this. Here's where it changes. To them, he said, go, therefore. Do you know what therefore means? In light of what I just said, this authority that I'm talking about, I'm placing it on you. Now go do the business that I've called you to do. Make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Can you say amen? All authority was placed in him, and he turned around and put it on the disciples, even to the end of what? The age. Guess what? We're not there yet, so it's still being put. That authority still come. It's to you. We're not at the end. Look at your neighbor and say, this ain't the end. This is just the beginning. It's just the beginning for you. This is not the end. Come on. Hallelujah. Hang in there with me. Mark chapter 16 then, verse 15 says, and he, speaking of Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. They'll drink. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. All believers. And as believers, if you are a believer, you and I have the authority, the power of attorney from Jesus himself to declare the good news that makes people free from the power of sin and death. You have the authority to declare things. You have the authority to do things. You have the authority to take over your home. I'm not going to get into the five specific things here, but there are five specific things granted in this power of attorney here. That's not all that's granted throughout the scripture, but there's five things that he grants here. But I want you to notice with me what the written document says. These signs. Everybody say signs. Now think about it like this. Spiritual business transactions. Spiritual business transactions. Oh, but that's for Brother Wonderful on TV. He waves his coat and blows on him and does spiritual business transactions. I'm not saying that that's not of God. What I'm saying is he's not the only one that's been called to conduct spiritual business. You and I have been called to conduct spiritual business. And if there's hell going on in your house right now, I challenge you to open up the book and begin to conduct some spiritual business according to the word of God. Don't let the issues that are going on there, don't let them overcome and usurp authority over your authority. Oh, come on. Come on. God has given us all authority. All authority. These signs, these spiritual business transactions, or SBT for short, will follow those who believe. Everybody say, follows those who believe, not those who doubt. Some doubted. Guess what they got? Follows those who believe. None of these spiritual business transactions will happen if you doubt, if you disbelieve, or constantly deny that it's possible for a child, a son, or a daughter of God to act in behalf of the one who sent you. If you don't think that God still does this stuff, then it will not happen for you. Amen. It doesn't mean that these spiritual business transactions, it doesn't mean that you're not saved if they don't happen in your life. That's not what it means. It just means that you're living below the potential that the Heavenly Father has placed in you according to his name. Come on. Now, what is the source of this spiritual authority? Here we go. In my name. Everybody say, in my name. The source of the believer's authority, in my name. Jesus said this, in my name. In my name. We have the tendency to say, well, I don't have that kind of authority. Only brother so-and-so has that authority. Only pastor so-and-so. Only evangelist so-and-so has it. But not me. And you won't have it as long as the devil makes you believe that kind of garbage. As long as the devil's got you on that kind of treadmill, he'll keep you there. You have authority. Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, you're on your own. He does not say, go make this happen with your own power. He does not say, I know you're my kid, but you've got to do this one by yourself. He does not say, make me look good anyway. He doesn't say, well, get saved, and when you die, maybe you'll get to go to heaven. That's it, nothing more. That's just the way this thing works out. You have to struggle and fight the devil with your own power, your own ability. Just have a little willpower for crying out loud and make it the best that you can. No, 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 1,000 times no, that's not the way this works. Can you say amen? We have authority in the name of Jesus. Notice what he said to those disciples. He said, in my name you will. Everybody say, you will. In my name, you will cast out devils. I'm not Jesus. You're not Jesus. But I do spiritual business in his name. I do it with his full permission and with his full power of attorney. And all heaven backs me up on that. Can you say amen? You've got to read and understand the power of attorney. That's God's word, by the way. Or you will never execute that power of attorney. It'll never happen for you if you don't know it. You will never do what it says if you don't know what it says. Amen. You've got to know. Listen to me. The devil is not bigger than the least baby Christian. Come on. The devil's not bigger than the least baby Christian. You have the authority in Jesus' name. You do not have to let the circumstances get the best of you. In fact, the Bible tells us, blessed be the God and Father. This is in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the richness of his grace. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. Everybody say, God wants to give me something. He wants to give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants to open the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened so that you'll know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's placed an inheritance in you. He's placed an inheritance in you. He's placed an inheritance in you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? His power, his power, his power towards me. Who what? Believe. Not doubt, not worry, not wonder. But towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities. Say, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, above every devil. Every power, every authority, every principality, every might, every dominion, and at every name that is named. There's not a name you can name that Jesus is not above. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Jesus Christ is seated. Aren't you glad to know that Jesus Christ is seated in heavenly places with Christ? Aren't you glad to know that he sits at the right hand of the Father, that he's there? How many of you believe right now in your heart, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's the truth, that Jesus is, in fact, the Bible says whenever he ascended, he went and he sat down at the Father's right hand. Hebrews says, ever making intercession for us. That's the reason I don't pray to his mama or his brother or any other saint that is mentioned in cultural Christianity. I pray right to him. You know why? Because he's the one making intercession. Nobody else is. Like when my daddy used to preach about that, he'd say, you know, if I get sick, I don't call the doctor's mama to get some medicine from her. That's just nuts. I go straight to God because I'm a priest. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. I am a king. He has made me a king and a priest before our God. He made you a king and a priest. We live far below our ability and our potential. He's seated right beside the Father. Now, I'm fixing to make a statement, and all of you are going to wince, and some of you are going to want to crawl under the chair, and some of you are going to say it's heresy. Oh, stone the preacher, but I'm going to say it anyway. That's Ephesians chapter 1. So God desires for us to have wisdom and revelation. Everybody's comfortable with that. He wants us to know and exercise his exceeding great power that he's placed in us. Everybody's cool with that. After Christ went back to heaven, he was seated at the Father's right hand. Throughout the Bible, whenever the right hand is mentioned, that's a place of power. Start back in Genesis and read. The king talks about the right hand of Jeroboam, the right hand of this one or that one. Talks about his ability to wield authority in his province. Look at this. It says that Jesus then is placed or seated at the Father's right hand now, and that place is far above, say far above, far above, far above all principality, authority, might, and dominion, and every other devil or demonically inspired thing or person that raises a disturbance against or around you, not only now, but even later. Watch this. That's Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, just humor me. Look at the person next to you. Say, he's talking to you. Now, put your own name there. And Paul, not my name, put your name there. And to you, Paul, this is the way I read the Bible, by the way. He made alive. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but he made me alive. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who was that? Devil. Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. People who are not in the covenant. Those sons of disobedience. That spirit's still working in them. Stay here with me. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves like that. We all acted nutty. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, oh hallelujah, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. Everybody say, I am alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Can you say amen to that? Now here's the controversial thing. And raised us up together and made us sit together. Together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We don't have a devil problem. We got a Jesus problem. We don't know him. We don't know our potential. lot of people call that heresy. I'm like, well, the Apostle Paul wrote it. I didn't. I'm just the messenger. I positionally am seated. Wish I had a chair. I'd sit bishop down here for God. I'd sit Emmett over here for Jesus. And I'd sit down next to him and say, hey, I'm here because of the grace of God. By grace I've been saved. I'm seated right beside God the Father, Jesus the Son, and I'm just sitting fat, dumb, and happy. I'm like, hey, I'm here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm here. I'm here. May not look like much, but I'm here. Hallelujah. I'm here. All authority has been given to me. I'm seated with Christ. I'm seated with Christ. What does it mean when somebody's been working, when they sit down? They're done. How does it feel at the end of a long day? You've been working hard. All you want to do is come in and sit down. Jesus had had a long day. One day, some humans had been ugly and did a lot of ugly stuff. He died. He was put in a tomb, but he had had enough of that. This place stinks. 3 days later, he got up. And then he showed himself alive to at least 500, possibly thousands of people. And then he stood on that little mountain. He said, I'm going away, and I am going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he's going to be here with you. And it's not that he's going to be here to do it for you. Here's the power of attorney. Here's the keys to the kingdom. Here's the keys to the Mercedes. Here you go, buddy. Knock yourself out. I'm going to back you up. I'm going to go and I'm going to have a seat because I trust you. I trust you to do the work of the kingdom. I trust you to do the work of the kingdom. Somebody ought to get happy right now. Some of you need to see yourself in a different light. We have all authority, all power. It's been given to us. We're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. How does it work out practically? I'm going to tell you how it works out practically. Get on your face before God and begin to praise Him and worship Him. I'm going to tell you how I pray. It's just a little glimpse into my personal life. I never start a prayer out by begging God for anything. I start out praising Him for what He's already done. Because I don't deserve one more thing. I don't deserve one more thing. But here's the good thing about being a believer. It's not about what you deserve, because we all deserve hell. It's not about what I deserve. It's about what God wants to give me. He's already seated me right beside Him in heavenly places. And I'm living down here like I'm a beggar. I'm living down here like I have no authority. I'm living down here like I have no ability. I'm living down here like I have no way. I'm just kind of lost in this earth. That's a crazy way for us to live. Well, I'm too shy. I'm too bashful. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm too whatever. God has given you the power. He has given you the authority, the power of attorney, to turn your situation around. When I pray, I begin to praise Him. And there's something about that praise that all of a sudden changes the atmosphere. I can't explain it. I've spent my life preaching, trying to explain how the atmosphere changes whenever you praise God. But that something happens and the atmosphere changes. And all of a sudden, there's a heavenly download that comes into my spirit, man. And I rise up full of the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I walk in His power. I walk in a level of His power. Nothing, it seems like nothing can hurt me. Nothing can harm me. I know that there's physical foes. I know that there's demonic foes. I know that there's spiritual entities and dominions and mind. All those, I know those things exist. And I know that they have potential to form weapons against me. But I was told back in Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 17, that no weapon that has been formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that raises its voice against me in judgment, I shall condemn. Not God, me. Because I have authority. I walk through this. I walk through my house. I say, in the name of Jesus. It's not my authority. In the name of Jesus. Devil, you have no power here. In the name of Jesus. I walk in my car. You have no power here. I walk into this church. You have no power here, devil. Get out of this place. You have no power. You have no authority. You have no right. I'm a child of God. The blood of Jesus covers me. I'll stand up. I'll walk strong. I'll square my shoulders back. I'm not under a circumstance. I'm above it, far above all principalities, powers, dominions, and might, and every name that is named, and any other thing that the devil can throw at me. I am above it. Can you say amen this morning? And so are you. Let's all stand this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matt, if you'll come back to the keyboard, I'd appreciate it. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something, church. We need to get it in our spirit, man. We need to get it in our heart today. Who we are in Christ Jesus. I'm challenging you this week. You're going to face situations, and as we all do. Week after week, there are situations and things that happen. But I'm challenging you that when those things, I'm trying to teach you, I'm trying to train you, I want you to see that you have authority over those things. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people say, oh, you're one of them preachers that believes in that there's demons everywhere. There's a demon behind every rock. No, I don't believe there's a demon behind every rock. I believe there's 100,000 demons behind every rock. Are you crazy? But I don't care if there's a billion demons behind every rock. Are you hearing me this morning? I am a child of the Most High God. I have the anointing inside of me. He has given me authority. I take authority over those things. I've been in situations before where the enemy would try to hurt and harm and destroy, and I have said, in the name of Jesus, no more. And I've watched it happen. I've related this story before, but I'll do it again. I was in a pretty bad place, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, whatever you want to call it, years and years and years ago. And the enemy had beat me down to such a place that I thought I was never going to get out of it. Literally, I had just about given up on the inside and thought, you know, if this is the way this has to be, just so be it. I'm done. I'm tired of fighting. Tired of thinking about it. I'm even tired of praying about it. Yeah. And one night, at the height of this garbage, I was laying in our bed, and just all of this weight, emotional, spiritual, mental weight. I literally thought, I could feel, it's like it started in my feet and it started coming up my legs. You can say what you want to, but I had an experience. This is not, I'm not arguing with you about it, what it is. I'm not into metaphysics or any of that stuff. This happened to me. My wife was laying beside me. This happened to me. Something started, the best way I can describe it, climbing up my feet and up my legs, and I couldn't move them. Completely paralyzed. I could not move a muscle in my feet or legs. And it came all the way up past my knee, past my thighs, could not move. And I knew that it was coming from my throat. I knew it. And there was not a thing I could do about it. I had my hands back like this, trying to push it off of me. And whatever that was began to come up and come up and come up. And it grabbed my throat like a man grabs somebody else's throat that he's trying to strangle to death. And I could barely breathe, and I could feel the pressure of it and the weight of it on my chest, and I could not move. And all I could think of was, God, I don't want to die like this. I don't want to die like this. I don't want to die like this. And I could feel that thing come, like it was trying to come over my face. And I tried to open my mouth, and I couldn't even hardly open my mouth. And the only thing that I could do, at the top of my lungs, I screamed, Jesus! And in an instant, that whole thing was gone. Every bit of it dispersed. Every bit of it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I have authority. I knew exactly what that was. I knew exactly what that thing was. And in an instant, the power and the authority in the name of Jesus cleared that atmosphere. I could tell you other stories very similar, not just about me, but about others. And I'm going to tell you, from that day till this, I have walked in the realm of authority, in a level of authority that all of a sudden I realized, yeah, the spirit world is real, but he said, I will give you power. These signs will follow them that believe. There's people you're going to come in contact with, and you're going to think that they are the devil incarnate, and that you have no way to confront or any way to handle. And I'm not telling you to scream in the name of Jesus in their face. That's not what I'm telling you to do. So don't do that. Well, unless God tells you to do that. But don't do that. And I've been in situations before where things have been coming at me. I'm talking about in public. And just I've just sat there and listened and taken it in under breath. I've just said, in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, that thing changed. That person's demeanor changed. I've had people even say, what did you do to me? I didn't do nothing. I've had them say that to me. You can go away from here and say, well, you know, blah, 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 it worked for him or blah, whatever. These signs will follow them that believe. Not them that wonder about it. Not them that worry about it. Not them that hope, but them that believe. And this morning, I want you to be encouraged to be a believer in those things that can. God, when God gets a hold of a situation, he will change it. He will change it for the better. You have the authority as a believer to say what goes on and what does not go on. Whatsoever you bind shall be. Whatsoever you loose shall be. I didn't write that in the book. He did. So as a believer, you have that authority this morning. If you've got some situations this morning, you say, I needed to hear what you said this morning. Would you just put your hand up in the air? He said, I needed to hear that. Then put both hands up in the air. Father, in Jesus' name, you see every person in this room. God, you're the one. You've called every one of us. You have called every one of us. Not one of us is at some kind of a higher spiritual level than somebody else. We are in the Spirit of God. We are children of God. We're not leaders in this and that. We are absolutely just your child. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have authority. Because of his blood. Because of his blood, we have authority. We are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Lord, you've called us to that position. And so, Father, for those this week, there's going to be some in this room right now that are going to face situations and circumstances, and it's going to come through people. It's going to come through people, and you're going to think it's that person being obstinate or that person being characteristically bad. But, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to understand that the spirit that drives them to be that way has to bow. Every name that's named has to bow at the authority and in the name of Jesus. Father, do that in this church today. Father, as a church, we declare that we're going to do whatever you've called us to do in this community. Father, we pray for this Murphy Mays Days, that there'll be an anointing that comes over this church, that people will know that they have a need and that there is a Jesus that can save them and help them and deliver them. Father, I thank you for the strength. I thank you for the courage. Father, for every outreach and everything that we do, God, I'm asking for your mercy and your grace and your goodness to be upon it. Father, we take authority over every entity, every spirit that would try to harm or hinder or foul up in some strange way, the plans, the things that you have given us to do here at Victory Church, we command that devil to get out that door. Don't you come back again in Jesus' name. We're not going to have it in Jesus' name. We are not just kind of making it. We're far above all that garbage. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, far above, far above, far above. in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. How many of you were blessed by the word this morning? Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Kurt, you feeling okay this morning? He got stabbed in the stomach this week by a guy. He had surgery over at the hospital. Good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. You doing all right? God's touching you. Praise God. Give glory to God. Hallelujah. You're dismissed this morning. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you back here this Wednesday night. Amen.